A guy that we depend on quite frequently, we talk about the analytics side of things. He told us something last summer, and I wish we would listen to him a lot more closely than we do now. Let's go back one more time. This was the audio that Dave Bartu gave us back last summer prior to the start of the 2018 season.
But when it comes right down to it, you know, when you're looking at this year, Nick's still there, the talent's still there. So where's the hole? Okay, and to me, the hole has to be in the coordinator position, especially what I was just mentioning, the defensive coordinator side of it. You had Smart and you had Pruitt, two guys top five in total defensive scoring efficiency in their careers. Super elite dudes. And who's replacing them? I'm really not sure who's even going to be the play caller there. I think your defensive, the named defensive coordinator is Tosh, right?
Right, Tosh Sapoy.
So, we have him calling plays for one season average play caller at the defensive coordinator position. So, you know, if we're talking weakness, that would be one of them. The other one would be on the offensive coordinator side. And until Nick Witten stole Dan from Michigan, I was really, really concerned about it, because when you look at Loxley's career numbers as a play caller, they're beyond subpar. They're really poor. But you also look at Nussmeier and McElwain, not at Alabama. They were terrible not at Alabama and great at Alabama. So Nick just somehow, God, I'd love to just shadow that guy for a week or a month or something and just, you know, somehow try to assimilate how he puts all of this together, the psychological side of it, the hiring, the training, the focus. So I think he's proven it so many times, it's hard to poke holes in it. But if there was a window of opportunity for the other teams to try to look at, I think it has to be in that coordinator position, where I see it as one of the weakest links it's been in the time he's been there.
Dave Bartu, CFB Matrix on the Twitter account, cfbmatrix.com. And a guy that we love to depend on. Dave Bartu, how are you, my friend? Welcome into the game in T-Town.
Do I actually need to say anything else at this point?
No, probably not. But, I mean, we want to give you on and give you some credit. You told us and we wouldn't listen. We refused to listen to you, Dave.
Well, I don't think there was a whole lot of people in June, July, August, September, October, or November saying Alabama's not going to win a title because of coordinators. And heck, up until that last game, I was like, man, this is going to be one of the biggest outliers I ever see if they can pull this off. And then finally in the 15th game, it certainly felt like that coordinator shortcoming certainly reared its ugly head when you guys didn't want it to.
David, I want to take you to ESPN. I'm going to read you a quick paragraph here. And it goes hand in hand with what you and I have been talking about and what we talked about then. Co-defensive coordinator and inside linebacker coach Pete Golding, who assumed the play calling from Lapoy during the first month of the 2018 season, is expected to remain on staff, according to sources. This is ESPN.com. So basically what we've learned today, no, what we learned Sunday afternoon is when this article was published, that Tosh Lapoy lost play calling duties in the first month of the season.
Interesting. Interesting. It's still, the thing is, though, as you look at the numbers, Alabama at the end of the regular season was still fourth, number four in the country in total defensive scoring efficiency. And that is still a really, really good number. But I don't have the numbers right in front of me. I'd be surprised under Smart and Pruitt if they were anything but number one the entire time. You know, so you're still at number four, which was really, really, really good. It was still an elite number. But it wasn't what it was before. So, you know, whether it's Golding, whether it's Lapoy, whether it's anybody else, you know, the concern going into the season was the experience and the ability to call defensive plays. And look, I mean, it was still a good defensive season, nothing like before. You've still got to be concerned about it going forward when you run into another elite team, you know, in the playoffs or an SEC title game next year.
Yeah, and when you look at Alabama, I mean, it's hard for me to even – now, these are just basic, not the metrics that you have set up, but if you look at total defense through every game, they ranked about 16 in the country when you base it in yards per game. That's a lot for Tuscaloosa. That's not your typical Nick Saban style of play.
Well, it seems like a lot, but remember, Ryan, it's a scoreboard. It's not a yards board. Yards don't count. It really doesn't matter. And that largely, that was a byproduct of the speed of the offense, which maybe really isn't a Bama thing either. You know, I really expect Wouldn't surprise me if Nick went back to, you know, ground and pound, a lot slower offense and less plays faced by the defense. Go back to the comfort zone. I can't remember what year it was. I think it was 2007. The Alabama team in 2007. They won a national championship in 2007, right?
No, 2009.
Maybe it was 2009. Sorry. Yeah. I'm not sure which team it was, but they were number one in offensive scoring efficiency. They were number one by far in defensive scoring efficiency, and they were the slowest pace of play in all of FBS. You could have called that team death. That's what they were. I mean, they were wicked. They were absolute 100% ball control, and they played slow, and they ground you into hamburger. And what has happened over the last few years is Nick's offense has gone faster and faster and faster and faster. And yeah, it's cool because you're scoring 50 points, 60 points, and 44, and boom, boom, boom. But guess what? Your defense is also facing more and more and more plays. That increases chances for injury. And
so are you saying Alabama was too good? Was Alabama too good on the offensive side of the football?
Well, I don't know if it was too good. It was just they were so fast at scoring is the number of plays that the defense had to face went up. And so, yeah, they may have been 16th and, you know, whatever yards per game given up or so forth. But that's the marriage. See, when people, they get so caught up in numbers on one side or the other of the football, the way I see the offensive and defensive coordinator, I see it as a marriage. You got to coexist. You got to get along. Okay. So, for example, up at Ohio State, you know, a place you guys love, right? Okay. That is a bad marriage. That offensive defensive coordinator pairing is a bad marriage because you got an offensive coordinator, a non-elite one in Day, how the hell they promoted him, I have no idea, and his backup, Yurkovich or whatever his name is from Oklahoma State, they want to go, 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 go. And their defensive coordinators are a bunch of guys that are accustomed to playing slow, 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 and not facing a lot of snaps. And so that's a bad marriage. So get back to what you're talking about. The defensive numbers are a byproduct of the speed and the efficiency of the offense. The offense actually finished the season number two in the country in total scoring efficiency, but the speed in which they were doing it, I think, hurt the defense. The defensive numbers were still good, but that defensive side of it still wasn't Alabama football of the previous 10 years on defense. So I expect Nick to slow things down on offense. Whoever's going to be the offensive coordinator next year, I believe it is going to be a pro style, slow down, control the game more.
And that's why Nick Saban is going with Sarkisian, Steve Sarkisian there as far as that side of the ball. But let's go back because you put up a tweet, you quoted our tweet, and you said, by the way, if Tua had won the Heisman, he would have been just the second this century to do it with an offensive coordinator having a grade of worse than B minus. What was Mike Locksley's grade as an OC?
He was D coming in. His career had been terrible. Absolutely terrible. It got completely resurrected. Nick Saban hires him, all that Alabama talent, boom. He gets a 5-year contract to Maryland. He should be paying Alabama 10% of that to broker that damn thing. I think he's going to be a failure at Maryland. I think it's going to be terrible. I don't think he's a good head coach. He was terrible at New Mexico, and the rest of his career for calling plays outside of 1 year at Alabama has been not good at all. So, you know, when you look at Heisman Trophy winners this entire century, there's only one guy, Troy Smith at Ohio State, entered the season with an offensive coordinator in our grading system, B minus or worse. Everybody else has been a B, B plus, A minus. They've had really, really good offensive coordinators. Tua, if he'd have won it, and I'm not saying it's because of Locksley. I mean, it's whatever happened in that last regular season, you know, whatever game that was, like SEC championship game, what turned the tide against him? Was it the SEC title game?
You're talking about Locksley this year?
No, about Tua this year. For the Heisman? I mean, he was number one.
Yeah, it was the SEC title because the ankle injury. He went down with the injury and battled through it and really didn't have an efficient game against Georgia.
Wow. You know, whatever there. So, you know, but it goes back to the numbers, which are, you know, what I base predictions and stories on, in that You know, Tua didn't win the Heisman. If he'd have won it, it would have been a real outlier, because you don't get guys that call plays that bad during the rest of their career, like Locksley, produce Heisman Trophy winners. So with Sarkisian coming in, it'll be interesting to see how the numbers change. Are they going to be flashy enough, you know, for Heisman voters? Because I think you're going to see a muted offense. I think you're still going to see a very efficient one. It's just you're not going to see the ball snapped every 15 seconds, every 17 seconds. You're going to see it snapped every 21, 22, 23, and they're going to condense the game down. And I think get back to what made Alabama football, that one, whatever, the 2009 season, man, if you can win offensive and defensive scoring efficiency while snapping the ball slower than anybody else, that is one hell of a death blow.
But can you do that in the current college football that we live in? I know 2009 a few years ago. Can you still do it, though, you think?
Yeah, you can. See, because here's what happens is, and maybe even Nick got caught up with this, okay? But when you look at the numbers, the pace of play has nothing to do with how good your team is. Nothing. There is no correlation with it. Everything, the most important number in the regular season is offensive and defensive scoring efficiency. That is it. It doesn't matter if you snap the ball 90 times a game like North Carolina did under Fedora. Guess what? Their offense still sucked and they couldn't win. Okay? Or you snap the ball 60 times a game like in 2009 when Alabama won a national title. It doesn't matter about the scheme. What matters is the execution of it. So I don't buy into this. You have to score a lot on offense to win in today's college football, because great defenses can win too. It's a balance. So if you get that marriage right, you get the pace of play right with the right coordinator on both sides of the football, I don't care what you run. Just do it really damn good.
Hey, Bartu, you're giving us show content for weeks here, because I think that's what Nick Saban is doing. He's going back to some very familiar faces that were part of some championship teams, because look at the turnover here in Tuscaloosa. There's not enough in that current coaching room to you got 10 assistant coaches, and he's got rid of, moved on, however you want to use it, like seven of those guys. And maybe there's more coming. Who knows? But he's coming. He's bringing them back, familiar names that are with Alabama fans. And maybe you got a point. Maybe that's what he's doing. He is going back to something that won. Maybe he got dared into keeping up with the Joneses and should have just been Nick Saban in Alabama.
Exactly. You know, did he get caught up in the medium rare filet mignon and dining high and expensive bottles of wine, when really all he is a hamburger and cold light beer? You know, it's comfort food. And I think he needs to go back to what makes him comfortable. And I don't think up-tempo offense and scoring a lot of points does that. I think it is ground and pound and ball control. And that's what I expect out of them going forward. I think they're going to revert back. I don't think you're going to see this massive offensive fun go to, you know, the fun games at the stadium and watch them score 60. I think you're going to still see them score big points. But what if I'm a Bama fan, what I want to see early in the season, okay, September, is what I'm going to be looking for. I'm going to be looking for a slower style of play and a more efficient offense and a more efficient defense. Okay, so 44-24 is not near as good as 34-9. Okay, don't look at the point spreads. Don't get caught up in the yards per game, folks. It's a scoreboard. Kill them on the scoreboard, and that's what I expect Alabama to be doing next year, same as they always have. I just think it's going to be a little bit slower.
We're talking today, Bartu, CFPMatrix.com, and this is the question that may be hard to answer, but I'm going to throw it to you anyway. Was this Nick Saban, and you put it all on Nick Saban because he's the CEO. I mean, he takes the fall. Was this his worst coaching job?
Worst coaching job?
I mean, it would have been his best if he could have got all these guys over the hump and got them to win the national title.
Because he's destroyed a few things. I remember the season when you returned three starters on offense.
Three!
That should kill everybody in the country. Now we're going to go win a national title. Who the hell does that kind of stuff? I mean, he's done some amazing things that, inside the numbers, drive me crazy. Yeah, you could argue. I would say statistically, when you look at the numbers, the efficiency, the offense and defensive combined efficiency numbers, I have to go back and look at previous Alabama teams. But and I think this goes back to the summer, though. If you're lamenting losing the national title, I mean, God, it was still a killer year. I mean, you ended the regular season number two in offensive scoring efficiency, number four in defense, number one overall in total scoring efficiency. But I think I'd have to go back and look and see, is this the most powerful efficiency he's had? And maybe the mistake was with Locklear, or it was with LaPoy, or maybe that's just kind of what he was comfortable with at the time. And it was just one game where he got bit. So it's really hard for me to say, hey, this has been Nick Saban's worst coaching job, because it's still probably an A-, even though it doesn't feel like it for the rest of you.
Well, and you got to remember, it's a different standard in Tuscaloosa.
That's what I'm saying. I mean, it's just, the bar is just so high where you're at. It's amazing. It's amazing. And he's still, I don't even care what happens. You know, with, you know, next year, this year, last year, everything, I will always maintain with Nick Saban, the one thing I would love to shadow him about is not his coaching, not how he recruits, not how he finds coaches, not how he hires guys, fires guys, visits parents or anything like that. I want to know how he psychologically motivates these kids and these coaches and these fans to be up every single year, unlike any program we've seen in an awful long time.
CFB Matrix on the Twitter account. Dave Bartu helping us understand maybe what went wrong for the Alabama Crimson Tide. So let me see if I can understand what you're saying. Mm-hmm. Are you saying that there was always a defensive efficiency here, but because of their offense, it gave them a bigger margin of error, that they outscored people? Because as I look at, you know, 60s and 50s and, you know, almost 70 points, We ignored the oil leaking in the bald tires, as Nick Saban told us. We saw the pretty girl in the convertible and the top down, but we ignored the oil leaking and the bald tires on the actual vehicle. He told us that in Arkansas, and we refused to listen to him too, Dave. So don't take it personal. We didn't listen to Nick Saban either.
Well, maybe I talk to him once in a while and give him some insight on what to talk about to y'all.
Thank you. But I mean, so what you're saying is the offense was so good because of the way that they scored quickly, that it put more stress on the defense, is what you're saying.
Heck, yeah, it put more stress on the defense. You know, here's something for you guys to discuss. Okay, I got one for you guys to discuss. I've been thinking about this. Okay, how many times in the first half did you kill everybody this year? I mean, kill them.
It was
over at halftime, right?
Pretty much almost every game.
Every game. And how old are these young men you're dealing with? 18 to 22, right?
They are.
Pretty impressionable,
yeah.
Can fall into habits pretty easy, right? So if you go 12 games killing everybody, literally destroying everybody, games over, except maybe what? LSU? That was 22-0. It was a closer game. But if you go a whole season where when you're sitting in the locker room, game's over, your brain's already shutting down, what happens when you fall behind later in the season? How hard is it to get fired up? Yeah, they got fired up. They came back against Georgia, SEC title game. Okay. They held off Oklahoma in the second half. And then finally against Clemson, they're down. So one of the things is, from a psychological standpoint, is it a good idea to take your foot off the gas in the second half, because you might develop a bad habit that bites you in the butt later on?
Ooh. Dave Bartu.
Something to talk about.
No. You're leading into a future show that I've got planned. And see, that's what makes Clemson so good, is the way they take the approach. The Alabama brand doesn't scare them off. That script A wins Alabama a lot of games. It does it against Clemson. And when victims don't respond the way that other teams respond, and Clemson looks at you and says, I'm not backing down, then it doesn't work, and you're like, whoa, I thought you were supposed to get run off by this script A. And then when it doesn't work, you're like, whoa, what happened? Why did that Alabama brand not run you away? And they stand up to the fight, and that's what Clemson's done that from day one. I don't know what Dabo's doing psychology-wise, but it's working over there.
Oh, he's doing a good job there. So the other thing I think you're going to see Alabama, I don't think, because Nick, if you're listening right now, because I know you listen to this stuff, okay, don't take your foot off their neck in the second half. You preach and teach and coach the idea that if you're first, second, or third string, you are playing like it's 0-0. Every single down. So when you're in a national title game, you're in an SEC game, when you go to put the foot on the gas in the second half, you are already used to doing that. You are never psychologically behind in the second half. And I think it's just an interesting discussion. I'm not saying that's what happened, but it gets me thinking about, is that something that could happen in that situation?
Day part two, man. We got to make this more frequent, my friend. You're giving us plenty to discuss, and you've always done that. Talk about what you're offering and how people can connect with you, because you offer a lot of these analytical packages. I'm not talking about for this the surface fan. I'm talking about that fan that wants to go deep inside the numbers.
Oh, well, I mean, well, as you know, a lot of my private consulting, a lot of fans don't know this. A lot of coordinators and head coaches you see out there getting hired, they're getting hired with our analytics behind it. I mean, there is a method to the madness. I'm kind of giving you the 10,000 foot level stuff, but I do have a Patreon account that people can subscribe to, get into some things a lot deeper. If anybody's interested in going deeper than just what we talk about, you know, follow me on Twitter, hit me up. Heck, we even have a text line, 971-217-8419. Hit me up. I will personally get back to you on that. So there's a lot going on there, and anybody that's really interested in what I do, both on and off the air with analytics, would be more than happy to talk about it and see if we can get some smarter college football fans out there.
Hey, thanks for letting us cry on your shoulder, man. We appreciate it.
Hey, thanks for having me on. Don't be a stranger, man. You know my number.